We're continuing today a little mini-series on leadership. Take Me to Your Leader from Mark's Gospel. We're delighted to welcome back Wes from the city, from St. Helens Bishopsgate, to speak to us. So over to him.
Thanks, Marcus. Great to see you, everyone. Please grab one of the handouts and we'll read the passage. We'll just read to begin with from verse 30 to 44. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Well, it's fascinating stuff. Please keep that in front of you. And the outline should help a little as well. Let's pray as we begin. Our Father, thank you for the privilege of meeting together to hear you speak to us through your word. Please feed us. Please help us to focus on Christ this lunchtime, to listen and humbly respond to him. In his name, amen. So there are plenty of leaders trying to sort out our problems. Barack Obama offers the world change we can believe in. Hank Paulson and Gordon Brown are offering bailouts. Your mother is probably offering you relationship advice or sartorial advice. Well, our title for this little series is Take Me to Your Leader. Now, if an alien was to pop in through that door, and I know it could happen. Last week there was a Russian TV crew here, so anything could happen at the barge. But if the alien came and said, "Take me to your leader. Take me to the leader that you are trusting in to solve your problems," who would you take them to? Well, obviously we've got to say Jesus. Okay, but what if a friend comes to you and says, "Mate, I've just lost my job at Lehman Brothers. I'm mortgaged to the hilt. All my savings were tied up in Lehman shares. I think my wife is having an affair. And I support West Ham United." What should we say? And what should we say to ourselves if we're worried? Well, we've got to say something about trusting in Jesus. But I, for one, find it really difficult to talk about Jesus with real conviction and real confidence. I know he is the answer, but there's a voice in my mind saying, how is Jesus relevant to the world financial markets? How can I talk about Jesus when his wife is leaving him? How is Jesus relevant when I'm worried about paying my bills? Well, the feeding of the 5,000 is the business. It shows us clearly that Jesus is the answer because he is the ultimate leader. And so point one, Jesus is the shepherd king. Invest everything in him. He is the king. He cares, he provides, and he rescues. Whatever we're facing, whether we're worried or whether we're confident about the future, we need to make sure that all our hopes and dreams are wrapped up in Christ. They're founded on him. Don't spread your bets or look for a balanced portfolio. Bank everything on him. And encourage others to do the same, to invest all their eggs in his basket. In his gospel, Mark shows us that Jesus is the true king, the divine king. And in chapter 8, Mark really goes to town. He compares King Jesus with King Herod. They both hold a feast, Last week we saw King Herod holding a lavish banquet. And this week we're in the wilderness with Jesus and he's feeding 5,000 people. And Mark uses that comparison to emphasize that Jesus is the real deal. Mark shows us Herod, the fraud king, the puppet king who's just under the Romans leading under them. He's the despised despot of just a scrubby bit of Palestine. And that fraud helps us see that Jesus is the genuine article. He is the one to bow down and worship. And Jesus acts like the real deal, doesn't he? Take a look at verse 34. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus cares. You can trust him. He's not a despot out for his own interest. Herod held his banquet to show off to the important people. But Jesus looked at the crowd, and he's deeply concerned. Verse 31 told us that Jesus had taken his disciples into the wilderness to rest a while. But this crowd turn up, and Jesus can't help himself. He has to help them. Verse 34 again. Jesus looked on the crowd with compassion because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, shepherd in the Old Testament was a common description of the king. And in Ezekiel, God looked at Israel and he described them as sheep with no shepherd. And God promised to be their shepherd. And Jesus now is taking on that role. So we can rejoice. We can follow him with total confidence. Because as verse 39 hints at, he is the good shepherd. He makes us lie down in pastures green. And if you're in any doubt at all about whether you can bank your life on him, look what he does next. There are 5,000 people. Now Herod would no doubt have taxed them or tried to organize a drunken party or something like that. But Jesus takes 5 loaves and he takes 2 fish. Now John McCain or Gordon Brown or your mother-in-law, they may be a leader that cares, but can they provide? Can they deliver? Jesus definitely can. He is the king with power over nature. Verse 41, he divided the 2 fish among them all. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Jesus demonstrated beyond doubt that not only does he care, but he can provide. And even more than that, this passage shows us that he is the shepherd king who rescues. And I reckon this is probably the big idea of the passage. See, Jesus is not just about providing miracles. He's not just a great guy to have at a picnic. He rescues people. And that idea of him rescuing people is all over this passage. As we read it through, and if we know a little bit of the Old Testament, we'll probably be thinking of the Exodus. Bells will be ringing at various points over the passage. There's lots of hints and reminders of the Exodus. Now, the Exodus is all about God rescuing his people from slavery in Egypt. He rescued them from Pharaoh, from under his judgment, and he takes them to the promised land. God took them through the wilderness, didn't he? Providing miraculous bread, manna from heaven along the way. And here today, Jesus provides bread in the wilderness to a great crowd. Jesus has come to rescue God's people. And the Jews were longing for a second Exodus. For centuries, they were longing for God to bring his blessing. And the feeding of the 5,000 proves that Jesus is the one who will do it. So why would you put your trust anywhere else? We need to get on board with him, to submit to his loving rule. Don't trust in your cash flow, your relationships, your prayer life, or your church attendance, or the next holiday. Bank everything on this shepherd king. He rescues from sin, from death, from God's judgment, and takes us on an exodus out of this world into the promised land, into the new creation. So that's point one. Jesus is the shepherd king. Invest everything with him. But how do we respond to him? How do we respond in practice? If your mate comes and says, look, I'm in real trouble. I'm in debt up to my ears. What should I do? I guess we should say, well, let me tell you about Jesus Christ. He is a leader who cares. He knows exactly what you need and he can provide it. You've got to turn to him and trust him. But I've got to hold my hands up again and say, I'm a fraud. I know in my head that Jesus is this wonderful king, this shepherd king, but I still struggle to encourage others to put their trust in him. And I still worry about my own future, and I still look for security and my confidence. I still put it in other places, perhaps in my wife or my friends or my job. And if you're at all like me in that, then we need to confront the fact that our belief in Christ is actually quite superficial. And if our belief is superficial, then we're in the company of Jesus' disciples. But that's not a good thing. We're in a position of real danger. So that's why point two is beware superficial belief. Let's track the disciples. Let's track their confidence in Jesus. Jesus has miraculously provided for 5,000 people. And now in the next chunk, he walks on water. And we see what happens in verse 49. So it's in the bit we didn't read, a bit further down the left-hand side. Verse 49. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. And it's that last sentence that is such a shocking warning for us. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Can you believe it? What a damning summary of the disciples. They've not understood the feeding of the 5,000, and their hearts were hardened. Most of us, I guess, will remember Pharaoh. He was the one who tried to stop the Exodus. He wouldn't let the Israelites go because his heart was hardened. Mark is saying that the disciples are in the same spiritual state as Pharaoh. The fact that they're terrified, the fact that they're astounded, reveals that they've not understood about the loaves, which means they've got a massive problem. We see more of their spiritual state in the next boating incident in Mark's Gospel. Let's jump on to chapter 8, so the right-hand column. Let's read from verse 14. Now they, the disciples, had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And Jesus cautioned them, saying, "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." And they began discussing with one another the fact they had no bread. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, now, I really like Jesus. I mean, he's just such a nice guy. He's so cuddly. He's such a big sandal-wearing marshmallow. No, he's not. He's more fierce than the scariest barrister you could ever imagine. Jesus puts the disciples in the dock, and he fires 8 questions at them. Look at these questions in verse 17. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not yet see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember? When I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Can you hear Jesus' exasperation? "I am with you. I am the king. I'm God. How can you be worried? You saw me feed 5,000. Then you saw me feed 4,000. I've done miracle after miracle. I am the good shepherd. Surely it's obvious that I care about you. I will provide for you. How can you be worried?" It is staggering. But it's really important that we see that the disciples' problem isn't that they're thick. So we've got to ask, why are they in this state? In both passages, it's because it says they've not understood about the loaves, and their hearts are hard. So what is it they've not understood about the loaves? They've seen Jesus feed the 5,000, but they've missed the point. They've not really seen who he is. Their understanding, their belief, their response is only superficial. He is the shepherd king who has come to rescue. But they've not turned to him for rescue. And so they are spiritually blind and spiritually deaf. They're hard-hearted. See this a bit more clearly. Did you notice Jesus' warning in verse 15? "Watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Jesus is saying to his disciples, you're in danger of being like the Pharisees. You're in danger of being like Herod. Now, Herod is more of a is more than just a foil to Jesus in this part of Mark's Gospel. We saw last week that Herod is a picture of unbelief. He listened and he listened. He was probably taking notes, but he was unrepentant. He didn't want to change. He refused to ask for forgiveness. But Jesus is now saying his own disciples are in grave danger of being like Herod. The leaven or the yeast, that kind of unrepentance could consume the disciples, like it did Herod, or like the Pharisees, or like Pharaoh. And the result of that is that they are spiritually blind. Do you see how that explains why they are so fearful and worried? They don't have real confidence in Jesus. It explains why they don't totally trust him. And I just think this is so mind-blowing. I was just lying awake at night a couple of days ago trying to get my head around this. The disciples were in Jesus' inner circle. They were his hand-picked cabinet. We see it in today's passage. He takes them away from the crowd. They hear his teaching. They see the signs and the wonders firsthand. But yet, their belief is still superficial. But then I thought, compared to my belief, this doesn't actually look that superficial. I mean, they left everything to follow Jesus. They left their businesses, they left their parents. If they are unrepentant and have hard hearts, then what am I like? What are we like? Wouldn't you be slightly freaked out if you saw someone walking on water? Or if you were running out of food, wouldn't you be worried? Maybe we're quite like the disciples. Let's try to assess where our confidence really lies. Imagine there's a Christian and they've just lost their job at Barclays Capital. They've got no savings, they've got a huge mortgage. And this person's wife has left. Then there's another guy, he's paid off his mortgage, he's still got a great job, lots of savings and a loving family. But he's not a Christian. Who is the most secure? If part of us thinks the person who's not a Christian, aren't we in the same boat as the disciples? The Christian has Christ, the Good Shepherd. Or imagine two Christians. One has a great job, great family, and they're healthy. The other Christian lives under London Bridge. They've got no friends and they're ill. Now, if part of us thinks the first one has more security and the second one has more reason to be worried, then again, aren't we in the same boat as the disciples? Both of these people have Christ. If we're worrying, if we're fearful, it's a sign that perhaps our belief is superficial. It's a sign that we've not understood about the loaves. It's a sign that we've got the same spiritual disease as the disciples. It shows us that we've not understood that Jesus is the Shepherd King who rescues us. And we've not turned to him for rescue. Or we're not continuing to turn to him. And that means that we'll be spiritually immature, in danger of doing what Herod did, and will be no use to anyone else. Okay, so that's point two. Beware superficial belief. So we've seen that Jesus is the Shepherd King. We should invest everything with him. But we've got to beware the response of the disciples. Do you see this? It isn't enough just to recognize that Jesus is powerful or just to recognize that he's God. I mentioned the Russian TV crew that was here last week. And I guess they were trying to run with the story that more people were coming to church because of the credit crunch. And yeah, I pray that people do. But just coming and listening and trying to get some kind of short-term, superficial help from a miraculous Jesus, that isn't enough. That's what the disciples were doing. That's what even Herod was doing, that kind of thing. And that kind of belief is superficial and rubbish. It's no good to us. And it's no good to anyone else. So what is the response that we should make? The disciples had not understood about the loaves. What will it look like for us to understand about the loaves? It can't be a matter of trying harder to believe that Jesus is King, trying to will myself to trust him more. The loaves show us that Jesus is the Shepherd King who will rescue his people in a new exodus. And if we understand the loaves, we'll see that Jesus is that King and we need his rescue. See, Herod is the classic wrong response. We need to do the exact opposite to Herod. We need to be willing to see our sin. We need to be willing to turn from it and to turn to Christ. So that's point three. We need to run to Jesus for a wholesale bailout. We need to see Jesus for who he is, the Shepherd King. He cares, He provides and He rescues. And we need to see ourselves for who we are and the state that we're in. And we need to throw ourselves on His mercy to bail us out. We need to cry out to Him to give us spiritual sight. If the 12 disciples needed to do that, then we certainly need to. Now, whether this is the first time you've opened up a Bible and heard anything about Jesus, or you've been following Him for years, we still need to do the same. If we get a whiff of unbelief in our soul, if we smell worry and doubt, then we need to run to Jesus for His bailout. We need to keep depending on Him to deal with our sin. We need to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." A mate of mine was an alcoholic, and for years he'd been refusing to admit that he had a problem. He had a job, had a family, lots of cash. But none of those things were helping him. The root issue was the same, and he was refusing to change. He was just getting worse. But then he admitted that he had a problem, and he asked for help. And we all need to do that spiritually. We need to turn to Christ for help. They say that the banks are being humbled, humiliated at the moment, having to go to the government for a bailout. But I dare say the banks want to stop relying on the government as soon as possible. But we've got to do the opposite. We've got to keep coming to Jesus for help, keep relying on Him. And when we do that, we don't just have access to a 500 billion fund or the Bank of England or the Treasury, but we have access to the unlimited care, the unlimited resources of the all-powerful Shepherd King. He's come to bail us out, to rescue us. Not from physical problems here, from the credit crunch or the mortgage repayments or our relationship difficulties, but from this whole world. He's come to bail us out from a life living under rebellion against God into a relationship with Him and a new creation in the future. And that means He may not give us everything we want. It's just worth seeing that that Jesus miraculously provides for the crowd, but He still provides in the wilderness. It's still only bread and fish. In this lifetime, He may not provide for us a lavish banquet like Herod provided, but He will definitely provide everything we need. He will care for us. Herod's guests, they went away sick. Jesus' guests went away satisfied. So that's point three. We want to run to Jesus for a wholesale bailout. And as we do that, as we continue to do that, we will grow in our confidence that Jesus is the true King who cares and who provides. And there's nothing to worry about. He is the leader we need. He is the leader our friends need. If we're worried, like the disciples, that we've seen a ghost, or if we're worried that we're running out of bread, or if we're losing our job, or our relationships are rocky, or if life just seems fine, if we're running to Jesus for rescue, coming humbly to Him in repentance, believing in Him to rescue us, well, we've got no need to worry. Whatever life throws up, the Shepherd King is on our side. Let's pray to finish. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for Christ. Thank You that He is the solution to our greatest needs. He deals with our unbelief and our hard hearts. Thank You so much that He is the Good Shepherd. In Him there is no need to fear. In Him nothing can separate us from Your love. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.